Please be seated. I think maybe some of you have seen what has come to be one of my favorite TV commercials. And it shows the picture of a horse trailer being backed into a pasture. And a woman gets out and she goes and pounds on the side of the trailer. And eventually this tiny, tiny little horse runs down the plank and out into the pasture. And this little horse is standing there all alone and isolated. And it sees some other horses out in the field, some beautiful thoroughbreds of some kind. And he runs out there to them. And they walk up and they sniff him and look at him. And all of a sudden, one of them jumps up and turns around and runs the other way. And they all leave the little horse alone. They're not going to have anything to do with him. They're going to isolate him. Keep him all alone. Probably because he's different. Probably because he doesn't look like them. Maybe he smelled a little strange. But for whatever reason, they were going to isolate him and keep him apart. They didn't know how to deal or what to do with a horse that was different. And that was their answer as to how to deal with that different animal, to isolate him and keep him apart from the rest of them. You know, I think that we see that in all of life. And we see it in today's gospel as well. A man named Simon, a Pharisee, a leader, the leading group in Judaism at the time, was having a dinner party, and he invited Jesus as the guest of honor, and he invited his friends. Jesus was probably kind of a magnet to get other people in. And he was very proud of himself for doing this. And he was having this really nice dinner party. And all of a sudden, this woman barges in from the street. An uninvited guest. And she runs in. And immediately she sees Jesus and runs up to him. And starts anointing him with this substance from an jar, and it smells very fragrant. It has a beautiful smell, and they recognize it as being a very costly ointment. And then she starts crying, and she's standing behind him, because remember, they didn't sit at chairs, they kind of leaned on one elbow around a table. And she's standing at his feet, and her tears are dripping on his feet, and she starts drying his feet with her hair, a sign of great endearment, a sign of great love, a sign of great humility, a sign of great service. And about this time, the guy who owned the house and was throwing the party had enough. And he jumps up and says, "Mr. Jesus, if you're really a teacher, you would know who this woman is. You would know that she's a harlot. You would know that she's one of the women that walked the streets. A woman of the night. Just a plain old street prostitute. And you're allowing her to do this for you? She was the different one. The one they wanted to keep apart and away from the rest of them. And Jesus begins to talk about, well, Simon, when I came into your house, you didn't perform even the first part of the law. You didn't even perform the standard duties of welcome to a household, standard functions of hospitality. You didn't have a basin ready for somebody to wash my feet. You didn't do any of these things. She has opened herself to me. She has opened her heart to me. She's responded the way my followers respond, with heartfelt thanksgiving and joy for what I've been able to do for them. Jesus is describing this woman, this outsider, is really an example of discipleship. An example of what people in his kingdom were going to do and how they were going to live. She really understood what Paul was talking about in today's epistle. About people are saved by their faith, not by their works. They're saved by their faith. Those who trust in Jesus and trust in his grace that he so freely gives. There's nothing they can do to buy it, nothing they can do to deserve it. All they can do is reach out and grab the gift when he gives it to them. Those are going to be saved. They're going to be loved by God. And Jesus says, hey, this woman understands that. She's grasped that fundamental truth. What a joyous thing it was for her. And I think that this whole thing about separating people who are different, separating people who don't look the same or act the same or smell the same or whatever, is something that we see all the time. But I think as we really look at the Bible, we see that it's a lot of those people that are so different in other people's eyes that God is able to use in some way, just like Jesus used this woman to point out the true meaning of faith and trust and discipleship. You know, God used some of the really strange people that others wanted to ostracize. I was thinking about this the other day, and I thought of Eli, the priest, who was really ostracized by his people because of the way his sons acted. They had inherited his role as the chief priest or high priest, and they were abusing their office. They were abusing their trust, misusing the offerings. And Eli couldn't do anything to control them. Now, those of you who are parents, how much can you control your grown children sometimes? But truth of the matter is, people were basically laughing behind Eli's back. He had lost credibility. And they were just pushing him off, marginalizing him because of that. But yet, when it comes time to raise up a new leader, it's Eli that God chose to mentor Samuel. Finish raising him. His mother brought him to Eli. You tutor him. You mentor him. You raise him. God sometimes chooses some very strange people out on the edges in order to further his kingdom, in order to do his will and to do his work. And I thought about Elizabeth. Remember Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah? They were old, never been able to have a child, and childbearing was looked upon as a real blessing. Society felt she hadn't been blessed. Maybe something was wrong with her. But yet, in her very old age, she conceives and bears a child. John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus. Very strange person. One out of the ordinary that God would use. And look at Mary, the teenage girl up there in the boonies of Nazareth. She wasn't even in the suburbs of Jerusalem. She was in the boonies. And they used to say, could anything good come out of Nazareth? But yet God takes this naive but faithful young woman and uses her to give birth to Emmanuel, his son, God with us. God uses people that are strange and that other people don't want to take in, or what people want to ignore. People that most of us wouldn't look at a second time. I had a strange thing happen to me about a year ago this time, almost a year ago today. I was in South America, in Buenos Aires, and I'd gotten up and decided to go to the cathedral that Sunday morning, the Anglican Cathedral. It wasn't a hard decision because it was the only church that I could find that had an English service. It was a bilingual service, and very, very loosely bilingual. And I had been there the week before, and I thought I could find it again, but I changed hotels. And I was walking, and I got lost out on the streets. And it's downtown in Buenos Aires. It's in what they call the Wall Street District, which is just two blocks from the port. And I'm wandering around, and somebody sees me as the gringo, the person to be set up. And they tried playing the old, what they call the pitching game, La Paloma. And what happens is somebody gets up close to you and they squirt you with some kind of stuff that looks like pigeon droppings. And they got the back of my leather coat, they got the bottom of my pants and my shoes. And I didn't see that had happened. That's part of the game. And then all of a sudden this little man jumps out from behind a dumpster. He says, "Oh, let me help you." And he's got a paper towel. And I kind of look and I'm like, "Oh my gosh." And I thought, well, he wants me to go behind the dumpster in order to get cleaned off. He's got more paper towels back there. And I think, I don't think I'm going to do that. And I looked around, I thought, oh my gosh, there's the church two blocks down the street. And I said, no, I'm going to church. And I hurried down to the church so fast without running. It was kind of unbelievable how fast I got there, even if my gout was bothering me. And then I go in. And I thought, I can't go in, I've got all this junk. So I take my coat off and kind of turn around, inside out. And I'll just carry it in. Maybe nobody will notice. And so I go past this desk, and there's a man sitting there. And he's handing out the bulletins, the prayer book, the hymnal, and the Bible. I mean, by the time you got into that church, you had a handful. And so I go in and I sit, and people come in and sit around me. I thought, ooh, I'm beginning to smell this stuff, whatever it is. And I thought, this is kind of bad. It's like, maybe I better go out and go in the bathroom and clean myself up a little bit. And I remembered where the parish hall was. So I went outside and got there. They had a keypad on the parish hall door. I couldn't get in. So I go back in the church. No, this isn't going to work. So I go to the usher. And I go back there and I kind of point out. And I said, I need the baño. He says, oh, see. And he says, La Paloma. And he laughs. And then he gets up and says, you know, follow him. So he takes me back to the parish hall. And we find a towel in a kitchen drawer. And then he takes me into this tiny little bathroom that they had. There was a 100-year-old building. And he gets down on his hands and knees and starts cleaning my shoes. I was really embarrassed, kind of humiliated. The whole thing was a very embarrassing and humiliating situation. But as he's cleaning my shoes and the cuffs of my pants, I think, this is Jesus. And I thought about Maundy Thursday, where Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. And I thought, gee, what a blessing this is to have this encounter with Jesus right here in this church. And I got cleaned up and went back in church. But all through the church service, I thought, I've been touched by Jesus. And, you know, they had, it was a beautiful church. Built around 1900, 1890s, something like that. Beautiful stained glass, beautiful, beautiful mahogany woodwork. Big pipe organ. Nice liturgy. The bishop's assistant was preaching the sermon that day. I mean, everything was there. All the ingredients of good Episcopal worship were there. Very plain service, but very good service. But you know, none of that really made any difference to me that day. The beautiful architecture, the good music on that big pipe organ, the sermon, the communion. I was touched by Jesus, by the usher. Sometimes we're surprised how we are touched by God. By people on the edges, by people on the outside, by people that we don't know. And I got to talking and found out that the usher's name was Oswaldo. And he was a homeless man that they allowed to live there at the cathedral in return for keeping it clean and being the usher on Sunday mornings. And I thought, that just enhances what happened. And I think that God uses people that others might think are on the outside in order to show himself to the world. God uses people that are marginalized in order to show himself and to touch a world. God can use very broken people in order to accomplish his will. And I think that's the beauty of this story today in the gospel, that God uses this broken woman, this woman from the outside, he uses her to come in and show his tremendous grace, that he can reach out and give his love to whoever he wants to, free of charge, without any price. And he uses her as an example of faithful living. The next time we see somebody we think is on the outside, we need to look and think, you know, they're a child of God too. And we need to ask ourselves, what's God trying to do through that person? Is God trying to touch me through that person? Is God trying to reach out and show me something or do something? Is God trying to somehow fill me with grace through that person? And maybe when we're feeling sorriest about ourselves, maybe when we're really down and hurting, we need to look in the mirror and look at ourselves and say, hey, God loves me. What's God trying to do through me? How can I allow him to use me as a channel, a river of his grace in the world? How can I serve him by allowing him to use me? I think there's a lot of things that we can see in this story today with this woman. Because there's a lot of things that can touch us through this story, can touch us through her. I remember the prayer of Francis of Assisi, who had been on the outside looking in after a great conversion experience. And his prayer was, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Our prayers, that God can make us instruments of his peace. What a great privilege. What great good news. What a thing to rejoice and be glad in. Amen.